Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to yet another edition of TGP Radio, as always. I'm your host, Vin, and let's get this, the final of our draft prospect show underway. Tonight is going to be quarterback and secondary, and if there's time, which there probably won't be. Thing is, I just got done watching The Revenant, and it ran over and what I expected, so show starting a little bit later. But if we have time, we will briefly cover offensive line. If not, we will not. Tomorrow, I'm going to try to do a mock draft show, get a couple people on, and run through just a couple user-generated mock drafts. That should be fun. But tonight, again, quarterback, secondary, maybe with a little bit of offensive line thrown in. And I also want to talk about how the Browns ruined the draft. Again, as the Browns are wont to do. All right, let's see here. People have called in because they've been waiting because I am a terrible host. So here we go. I'm going to put them on. And, yes, all right, here we go. Call one. I think this is Cherry, I think.
What up, man?
Hello, sir. All right, there's Cherry, and here is Razor right there. Right there.
Caught him.
Right there.
That's not.
All right.
No. Vin, you haven't unmuted me yet.
Right there. Okay.
Ben.
I guess this is the gang. But I may not call in. It's Friday. Probably threw a monkey wrench in things having a Friday show, but you gotta do what you gotta do. Or something.
Afraid of those Saturday shows.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'll stall for time here. Browns ruined the draft early in the week by trading with the Eagles. Not that it's necessarily a bad move for the Browns. It's actually quite a good move for the Browns because the Eagles gave up a bazillion picks. It just ruined it because now quarterbacks are going to go 1-2, and that's lame because it ruins all the intrigue of everything and makes me feel bad.
The draft had no intrigue.
No intrigue.
I don't know what you're saying. It's ruining all the intrigue. What makes you say it's going to ruin all the intrigue?
Well, because the first two picks are fun, and now they're already decided, and that's
we always know who the first pick is going to be weeks before the draft.
Usually.
So I mean, knowing the
Sometimes.
Second pick isn't that much worse. We also knew who the top two picks were going to be last year.
It's 100% worse.
Like somebody's just going to take a quarterback number one. That's just what's going to happen every single year from now on.
Yeah.
Even if they aren't,
especially, like
the top
I mean, really, like,
prospect, it's fine. Just take a quarterback.
Three of the four, like, last year's probably we knew who was going number one. We knew Luck was going number one. We knew probably Winston was going number one, and we knew that Clowney was going number one. We still don't know who the Rams are taking. I mean, it's really, like, half of people, literally 50-50, half of people are saying, oh, it's going to be Goff. Half of people are saying, oh, it's going to be Wentz. So, I mean, we're still not even sure about the number one pick.
I'm saying it's going to be Laramie Tunsil.
I about choked on my fucking water.
Here we go.
Rip Cherry, he dead. Okay. Yeah, it's
told you I wasn't going to make the show tonight because I was going to kill you on the show tonight.
Murder.
We're just trying to fucking kill me over here.
Oh, man. But, yeah, it's just. I don't know. But, I mean, you know what? Good on the Browns. They get a haul for the number two pick. Move down a little bit, get the guy that they want, and get plenty of picks to potentially rebuild. Perhaps things are looking all right, looking up in Cleveland Brown land, which I'm not certain the last time I'm not certain the last time we could actually say that.
When they went 7-4 with Brian Hoyer, and then Brian Hoyer realized, oh, wait, I'm
Brian
Hoyer. Brian
Hoyer. Oh, man. Poor Brian Hoyer.
They still finished fucking 9-7 that year, though. That's impressive for Brown. That was a 9-7 division, like, going through.
He's the only quarterback in Browns history with a winning record.
Which isn't saying much. I mean, looking at their quarterback history. But, yeah, that's rough. That's rough. Oh, man. All right, so I guess now we'll get to what the purpose of this show, quarterbacks and secondary, quarterbacks and safeties. I guess we'll do corners first ish. I guess seems, I don't know, what are we feeling about this this cornerback crop? Seems sort of top heavy a little bit.
I feel like there's two prospects I really like. They're not very popular opinions, so I won't say anything about them.
What are they? What are the two quarterbacks you're in love with?
I like Vernon Hargraves. I like what he can do. And I also like Xavien Howard, which is definitely an unpopular opinion.
I'll agree with Hargraves, but I'm not exactly on the Xavien Howard boat.
And, I mean, Hargraves gets caught with weed 2 weeks before the draft or whatever. I mean, come on, man. You're going to be a top 10 pick. Now yeah. What?
Top 10 pick. Nobody cares.
I mean, they haven't even, like, officially released anything on that yet, have they? It was just a rumor floating around.
Yeah. Maybe it's like a Warren Sapp thing where they release it a few weeks before the draft and then, you know, he falls to the team who actually wants him. Actually spread the rumor in the first place.
Man, it's like, I don't know, did that really affect Randy Gregory? Although his was combine, getting popped at the combine, I think. I mean,
yeah, he's getting popped on combine and then, like, continual issues.
Yeah.
Well, the thing with Randy Gregory was he was an overrated prospect to begin with for a lot of people. He really was more of a tweener than anything else, and I think they had him in, like, the top three or some shit initially, and a lot of media hype was around him, and he slowly started dropping. I don't think the entire drop was because of weed, but he did have issues with that. So I think the Gregory drop was just a mixture of different things.
Yeah. I think he still went pretty high, of course. I could also be misremembering that because it I don't know. And, of course, putting in his name doesn't – Anywho, move on. So, let's see here. So, thoughts on – all right, so Razor likes Xavien Howard. It seems like everybody's favorite prospect this time is William Jackson out of Houston. You guys feeling the same kind of with that or what?
I'll go ahead and let Razor go first.
Yeah, because Cherry already shared his thoughts, you know, before the show.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, oh, yeah, William Jackson's my boy.
Yeah.
He's going to be something special.
You would have known that if you looked at the board. It is what it is.
Yeah. Should have pulled up the word. Okay. Oh, yeah, best corner in the draft. Huh.
Yeah, that's exactly what he said. And I'm going to disagree because I'm hard.
Okay. If you're counting Jalen Ramsey as a corner, it's easily Jalen Ramsey. But if you're counting him as a safety, I'm counting as a safety. It's probably William Jackson, in my opinion.
Okay, that's also fair. But Jalen Ramsey is going to be a starting corner in this league. I'm going to guarantee that.
I mean, he's a starting defensive back, regardless of where you put him. You put him at cornerback or safety, it doesn't matter. Jalen Ramsey's just a monster.
Yeah. I think whoever drafts him, whether it's the Chargers at 3 or the Cowboys at 4, they're going to put him in at cornerback.
What makes you think he's a better fit as a cornerback than as a safety?
I think it's more just where they're putting him and how they're drafting him so high that they want him to lock down as a cornerback. He has more value that way.
Yeah. I was going to say, can you justify taking essentially a safety, you know, top 5?
I mean, if it's a guy as good as Jalen Ramsey, sure. Maybe
yeah.
not number one like a lot of people are saying. I think it's a good move by the Titans to trade out and max out on picks there because of the value of that spot. But Jalen Ramsey is probably one of the best defensive backs to come out in a long time, and he's almost a guaranteed Pro Bowler by most everyone. I've yet to meet someone who does not like Jalen Ramsey at all. Everyone has it. He is at least top 10 for everyone I've seen.
Yeah. Yeah, it's certainly going to be. It's certainly going to be interesting just to see where where he ends up and B what he ends up playing in the what position he ends up playing up. You know, it's quite possible he'll go to a team they'll use him in multiple positions, which is fairly possible. I like to see him go to
Rams
to a DC. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
all
part
of the plan.
Who do they have back there? Rodney? They have Rodney McLeod back still, or they let him walk?
Who, for the Rams?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, McLeod went to the Eagles. He signed like a 5 for $43, I think.
I think they just have Jim McDonald, and I think that's about it. Like, I don't know.
Yeah,
who
they have Jim McDonald. That's just it. I don't even know who's starting across from Tremaine now. Now they got rid of Janoris Jenkins, but it was
I think it's Hampton's boy actually, EJ Gaines.
Yeah, it's EJ Gaines. I couldn't think of that.
Yeah,
is Hampton's boy EJ Gaines or is it Phillip Gaines? I thought it might have been Phillip Gaines.
I don't remember. They
Campen,
all kind of
Campen
blend
has,
together after a while.
Yeah, Campen has many boys. I don't know who Campen's boys are for this draft though.
I haven't heard really much out of Campen.
Been pretty quiet. Yeah, I think Phillip Gaines was Campen's boy.
Oh, that might
sure.
be it. Mm. Yeah, because it wouldn't make sense for the Rams to take one of Campen's boys, because the Rams are terrible.
poor Rams. Poor Jerry.
Fuck. I signed on with the freshers and took Greg fucking Robinson over Jake Matthews. Fuck me.
No, they took Greg Robinson over Khalil Mack.
Potential, man.
Yeah.
Like, I can't believe that Houston didn't take Khalil Mack. I was so sad about that. Because I'm just like, sure, Clowney's a beast, but Mack's a beast. Like,
That's kind of where I started hating the media for the most part when it comes to grading guys, because I was really influenced by the whole Clowney hype, and I watched the tape, and I'm like, okay, Khalil Mack's a fucking monster.
Yeah.
And Clowney had all this hype behind him. It's, oh, Clowney's going to be so good. And then Khalil Mack's an all-pro with two positions, and Clowney's sitting there on the sideline. He can't even walk because his knee's so messed up.
Yeah, and it's just like, I didn't see it when the Texans took Clowney 1-1. Like, yeah, he has all the hype, but why? Like, no, watch what Khalil Mack did to Ohio State.
That
watch
was
what
probably
doing with
the one of the most impressive games I've ever watched on film was Khalil Mack against Ohio State. He was just a complete wrecking ball. He had like 2 forced fumbles. I think he might have had an interception, like 3 sacks. It was just off the charts what he was doing against Ohio State.
Yeah. Just like, how do you not make that guy the first overall pick? I mean, God, he destroyed Brock Osweiler this year. Brock Osweiler is going to have nightmares about Khalil Mack for the rest of his career.
Maybe that's why he went to Houston.
So he doesn't have to play Khalil Mack twice a year.
Exactly. Exactly.
He'd rather. Oh wait, no. Clowney's on the same team. Damn it.
Yeah, just get me as far away from Khalil Mack as possible. It's been fun, Denver. Peace.
Yep.
Yeah. Fun times. All right. Let's see here. Corners. Yeah. I mean, there's that. There's Xavier Howard. I mean, looking through these names. Mackenzie Alexander is apparently a head case, decent size, decent speed apparently. But a head case,
like
I think like corners are always. It seems like corners always had cases. Seems like.
You got to be a little crazy to play cornerback instead of wide receiver.
Yeah, it's certainly interesting. And like Josh Norman is a good example of that head case. And I think
Richard Sherman head case.
Head case. Darrell Revis not so much, but
Darrell Revis
of,
is just greedy. He knows what he wants. He wants money.
Yeah. D'Angelo Hall head case. But I think we're past talking about D'Angelo Hall.
D'Angelo Hall is a safety now. He doesn't get to be a cornerback anymore.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, so we can't lump him into that. But one of the guys that I'm kind of curious in, I don't know if you guys know much about him, because I don't know much about him, but it's just like reading up for the draft game and whatnot, is Harlan Miller out of southeastern Louisiana. Decent size, had a terrible combine, but from everything I've seen, had a good showing at the Senior Bowl. Either of you guys know anything about him?
I have absolutely no idea about him. I'll flip on film real quick, though. So, maybe one we can go to something else, and I'll come back to you in about 5 minutes.
Yeah, it's a little brutal. I mean, because everybody loves their small school prospects. You know, they're fine, you know, digging through tape and stuff. And it's like, this guy right here, this guy's a beast. And it's hard, you know. Southeastern Louisiana, it's just, you know. Yeah, let's just pull up tape on that. I'm sure it's just floating around everywhere.
Everyone wants to find their next Jerry Rice from Mississippi Valley State. So.
Yep. Yep. All right.
Yeah, I love
those
small school guys.
Yeah, now that I sent Sherry on that, I want to do kind of sleeper picks, but.
Well, you just stole my sleeper pick, mentioning Harlan Miller. So.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
That's okay.
a little unorganized after this. Turns out The Revenant is a fairly long movie, and I thought I was going to have enough time to. Do a wee bit of prep before before the show.
It's like 3.5 hours long.
Ben, you never do.
These draft shows like brutalize me essentially, because it's just like I don't know. In order for me, I'd have to spend hours doing prep to actually sound knowledgeable, or you know, all I can do for these things is ask leading questions and then duck out of the way as people who actually know what they're talking about take over. I mean, that's pretty much it.
Yeah, which is why I should probably stop calling in, because I don't know anything.
Yeah, well, if you do that, then that'd be, I need somebody who doesn't know anything with me, but, I kind of want to do bust and, kind of biggest bust and biggest sleeper, but, you guys have kind of sort – well, no, I guess you haven't. Quarterback that's likely to be taken high that has the biggest bust potential is?
Eli Apple,
Ohio State.
Yep.
What's the deal with Ohio State players getting a bunch of hate?
Well, Ohio
Jerry
State
hates
has
Ezekiel
like
– Ezekiel Elliott.
Has like 12 players going in the first round this year. So
–
it's really just, you know, some of them have
one
to bust.
Yeah, law of averages. Yep.
Can't go 12 for 12. But, yeah, Eli Apple is going to be a huge bust.
Huge bust.
I'm going to override that decision to pick Eli Apple. I'm going to say Mackenzie Alexander.
Oh, yeah. That's also a good choice.
Yep, head case. that's accurate. But alright, and we already somewhat discussed favorite prospects, sort of. I think. We did, right? I don't remember. which is sad because it's only been like 20 minutes ago.
Look, to get back to Jan Harlan Miller, I can see a little bit of the hype on him. I mean, he's not necessarily really well-refined in coverage or anything, but he's a really strong run defender, very good at catching screens. He's not letting anyone burn him. I mean, he looks like a small school guy who would actually be able to succeed at the next level. A lot of times you have guys who are just really good in coverage, or they're just not really, like, their game isn't really well-rounded. He has a really well-rounded game.
Oh, there we go.
That's good. Because he's going to be spending a lot of time with special teams.
That's accurate. That is accurate. All right. I guess we'll move on from corners, I guess, unless there's anything else that that you guys wanted to bring up regarding them. Otherwise, we'll move on to...
I think that a lot... There's usually in every single mock draft that I've seen a corner go top 10, whether it's William Jackson or Hargreaves or
Hargreaves.
Eli Apple. I don't necessarily agree with that. Personally, I would consider a first round, or not first, for top 10 pick on William Jackson. But like Hargreaves and Apple, they're really good athletes, but they haven't really shown that they're a lockdown kind of guy who you want to take in the top 10. You don't want to take a corner top 10 unless they're the next Darrell Revis or Richard Sherman or something like that. Usually it's a lot more interchangeable with that position. I mean, there's a lot of decent depth later on, guys like Artie Burns, and I would put T.J. Green as a corner. But it's just not worth spending that high of a pick. I think maybe Apple, Jackson, and Hargreaves can all go first round, but I wouldn't spend the top 10 on them.
Yeah, because even Darrell Revis, who was the top cornerback in his class, didn't go till 14. So it seems like teams aren't going high on defensive backs as often these days. But I still think you need to, if you feel like a guy can lock down a number one cornerback, you should probably take him highly. And I think, you know, one of those guys might go higher because of that.
Is that a product of the fact that, you know, defensive backs by themselves, you know, aren't that, you know, you can have a dominant defensive back, but if you don't have the defensive line to get pressure on the quarterback, then it's not really going to amount to much. I mean, is it a product of that or perhaps something else?
I mean, I think to an extent it's a positional value type thing. I think when you have a guy like Jalen Ramsey, who's just so incredibly dominant, so versatile, it's a lot easier to invest a high pick on a guy like that. But for a corner who is a little bit questionable in all, it's tough to put that kind of investment in a guy. Just the value of the how high up you are. If you're in the top five, or you say you're the Titans, you're number one, why would you take Jalen Ramsey number one, or take any corner or something like that high if you can trade back and get a lot more picks?
Yeah, because one corner is not going to be worth a starting right tackle, a starting running back, and like a starting wide receiver, for example.
Right. All right.
Which is what I'm assuming the Titans are going to grab with three of their picks they got from the Rams there.
And I would think another part of it could potentially be the scheme that a guy gets in. Say Richard Sherman doesn't get drafted by Seattle. Say he gets drafted in a completely different system and completely different scheme. Is he going to be as dominant as he's in Seattle? Say you put Darrell Revis like they did. We saw him went to the Buccaneers and they tried to put him in zone. He wasn't nearly as good as he was on the Patriots and the Jets because they tried to switch the scheme. Cornerback, a lot of that, you got to have a guy who fits the scheme you're wanting to run. Whereas a receiver, a guy like that, or a running back can just do what they want because they have that kind of talent.
Yeah. All right. I guess we'll move on to the safety class. And it feels like that I've been saying this for like the past two seasons, three seasons, but this safety class seems kind of bad. Accurate or not?
It's probably better than it has been in the past few years. I mean
last last season, the what we had, the number one guy was Landon Collins out of Bama.
Yeah.
And that, you know, that's not really that great.
It does seem to take safeties a lot longer to acclimatize to the game, opposed to other positions. So I'd almost rather have like a 30-year-old cornerback turned safety in the backfield than a rookie coming out most of the time.
Yeah. I mean, if it, you know, you're theoretically your last line of defense, you want somebody back there who knows what they're doing, who's going to take the correct angle, who's going to, you know, get guys, if they aren't already, get guys in position and whatnot, and, you know, something that you're going to get from a vet, not exactly a young guy. But
I mean, I think it's a lot more rare to have a complete package at safety coming out of college. When you do get a guy who's a complete package like a Jalen Ramsey, you're going to see him get taken really, really high just because of the value of having a guy who can play deep and be that last line of defense. As Razor said, that it's just a matter of most of these guys coming out, they're good at one thing. Like Landon Collins is really good coming down and putting a hit on someone, not necessarily tackling them, but just coming down and being an in-the-box safety. Gerard Hallman is a very good example. He just could not tackle to save his life, but he was a really good cover guy, like playing in the center field, just trying to be a ball hawk. But it's very rare you see a guy who's just a complete package coming out of college at that position.
Yeah, and everyone wants that hybrid safety nowadays, the ones who can do absolutely everything. And, I mean, those are just few and far between. You don't get Troy Polamalu and Brian Dawkins every year.
Be kind
I think
nice.
Part of it is you see this movement towards wanting to put safeties on, like tight ends or slot receivers and stuff like that, and have them come up and cover those guys. But you try and put a safety on Gronk, majority of the time they're going to get completely demolished. Same with a lot of these more modern hybrid tight ends can just bulldoze a safety. So it's tough to find a guy who's a good combination of a good tackler and a guy who's good in coverage.
Yeah, most of the time you just end up getting a guy who isn't good enough at either of those things.
So I guess favorite prospects in this class, if there even is one. I know Keanu Neal seems to be sort of high-ish. Von Bell, guys like that. Yeah, what you got?
Okay, so I think Jeremy Cash is up there. I don't think he's going to be a first-rounder necessarily. I think he's a guy who's going to be able to start day one as a safety and do pretty solid out there. Not sure where he was exactly on my board, but I know he was up there in terms of being one of the better safeties in class. I think he might be number three.
So he's automatically going to be a bust?
Yeah, he's a fucking bust. Yeah, I got the cherry guarantee right there. Von Bell is not too bad. I have him in the beginning of the second. Only safety outside of Ramsey that I'm absolutely in love with is probably Carl Joseph. He's had issues with injuries before, but when he's not injured, he's playing healthy. He's pretty much a complete package. He's not as good of a cover guy as Jalen Ramsey, but I think he's a way better tackler. I think he's able to do more damage in the run game than Jalen Ramsey would. So I think he's going to surprise a lot of people with where he goes off in the draft. I've seen people saying he's going to be a third rounder. I think he could be at the back of the first.
Well, anything can happen. Team falls in love with him. I don't see him going quite that high, but I could see him going the mid-second without much consequence.
Well, I mean, he went, number 37 or something to Campen? Let me see. Number 38 to Campen for the Jags. So I'd be shocked if he picked at the beginning of the second.
Yeah, that seems fairly reasonable. How do you feel about Sua Cravens?
I don't see him as a safety. I see him more of as a linebacker. I don't think he was nearly good enough. in terms of coverage to be a full-time safety. But even as a linebacker, I'm not too big of a fan. From what I remember, he had some issues like with actually wrapping up and making a tackle.
Well, I mean, you stole all my safeties, so I really have nothing much to add.
Oh, man. What about have you gotten a chance to look at James Bradberry, Cherry, out of Stanford? Following my boy Jaquiski Tartt's footsteps.
If you can find something to talk about for the next 7 minutes while I watch this tape on him.
I think 7 minutes is about what we've got left here. So,
let's just say he's good because I drafted him. I think.
Yeah,
I think I drafted
he's
him.
Pretty good.
I honestly don't remember.
6 foot, 211, 4.46 at the combine, height, weight, speed guy, gonna be a beast. Because I'm pretty sure Mr. Tartt posted the exact same, pretty much the exact same numbers last season. And actually was pretty good this year with the 49ers, I think. I don't have Pro Football Focus to back me up on that, but I'm just going to assume that he was good.
He was good because he was not Blaine Gabbert.
Oh, you leave Blaine alone. Starting quarterback of the San Francisco 49ers, Blaine Gabbert.
Yep, starting quarterback of the future, franchise quarterback,
yes.
Blaine Gabbert.
All of the above.
Since we have about 5 minutes left, you want to quickly run over some of the linemen since we didn't get a show to talk about it?
Yes. Since nobody cares about linemen, they didn't get a show. So, yeah.
And nobody gets to sit to watch linemen. That's hell to watch linemen.
This offensive line class, just judging from what I've looked at for the mock draft, seems terrible. You've got a bunch
more
of
right
average tackles.
Okay.
Fuck out of here. Fuck out of here with that.
I mean,
you just say every single class, like this class, like from what I see from everyone in this class is terrible at this position.
It's terrible.
For every single
it's
position.
Terrible.
Like,
from what I read, so yeah.
Terrible.
It's always terrible.
So, yeah, at the top it's not bad, but you've got a bunch of average tackles who probably can't play tackle in the NFL and are going to be relegated to guard. So that's terrible. So, yeah, you got a bunch of terrible center prospects who aren't strong enough, aren't big enough to play center, and it's terrible. Terrible class. Terrible.
Well, you're saying
yeah,
it's terrible
because
you had a bunch of tackles who are going to be guards instead. I wouldn't disagree. There's a lot of guys who aren't good enough at holding the edge against the speed guy. You're going to have to push them into guard. But I think the top of the class is pretty talented in terms of tackle.
Yeah.
I think Laramie Tunsil is a Hall of Famer, and everyone else sucks.
Yeah. Tunsil's going to be the GOAT, probably. Guarantee it, even though he's actually not technically refined at all and has no actual ability to handle a guy. He's a decent, talented pass rusher.
Look at that potential.
Ronnie Stanley is Joe Thomas Jr. Cherry guarantee, so he's fucked.
Yep.
Killing careers, one name at a time.
Your Decker is going to be the sickest right tackle on the Titans.
Yeah, I'm also a big Decker fan. Kill him too. He's done. He's gonna rip his ACL. First play the rookie
clean off.
Yeah.
So you think the Jags are going to take Decker overall?
Huh?
Because he's going to tear his ACL before the season even starts?
That's hurtful.
He's going to follow the Dante Fowler route.
Yeah.
He's going to rip it first practice, and then he's going to watch a bunch of people slap each other in the elevator.
Yeah.
Watch his hose cut over him.
Now he's going to retire.
Terrible. Yep. Thanks for the signing bonus, guys. Yep.
I think a lot of people
are
underrating. Go ahead. I think a lot of people are underrating Taylor Decker. People think he's not going to be as good as a guy like Conklin or Tunsil, but he's just one of the most powerful run blockers in this class. I think he's going to be one of the guys who's doing really good work out there from day one versus like a guy like Tonzo, who I think is going to take a little bit of time to develop.
He's not going to be as good as my super sleeper pick, Caleb Benenock from UCLA. That's
God. Get the fuck out of here. Your super sleeper pick. Didn't you take him like the third round or some shit?
Yeah. Yes, I did.
Oh, my God. I was looking him up. I wanted to see something on CBS Prospects. I'm looking at these guys. Look at the tackle class. He's rated like 250. Rated from 72 for the fucking Browns. I'm like, okay.
Yep.
You want to be the Browns, be the Browns. But
I'm the Browns, you know? Got to take my quarterback second overall. Got to take another quarterback in the sixth to, you know, get a backup. Clearly.
Yep.
And now I got the best offensive tackle. I've got the Tom Brady of offensive tackles.
I feel like the Tom Brady of offensive tackles wouldn't be too good.
Probably not.
Better hope the Patriots draft Maurice got sucked.
just got a feeling Tom Brady, that might not work out too well. Not too well.
I can
maybe.
Just sit here and say stupid shit like, I'm going to Cody Kessler, Tom Brady. That Denzel Perryman guy, he's the Tom Brady of linebackers. Everyone is the Tom Brady of their position if they're not first or second round.
Yeah, Rob Ninkovich, Tom Brady of offensive linebackers. Outside linebackers.
Yep.
Holy shit.
All right.
What kind of positions
are
you
playing? Yeah. We're